pig barbecue. Toasted on a spit barbecue. We cops round here. No kosher, what they got at the pass. Let it blow for the culture.
All right, welcome to the inaugural podcast with me, MC Foucault, and our co-host slash host. We'll go with host, Mohawk Johnson. We are not quite sure about the format yet, so this will probably be edited out. But today we are going to talk about issues of, we'll say, police racism and how that relates to the culture and city of Chicago. Does that sound about?
Yeah, that's it. That's perfect.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was sick for like the first time in years last week. So
wow,
it just wiped me out. And luckily I had zero responsibilities between Sundays. So like I didn't have to do anything, but I was just like dead all week. I went to a bunch of shows this past weekend. Probably like still a little bit sick, but you know, getting through fine. Yesterday was the first time I tried doing something, which was like rapping a couple, like just a couple songs at open mic, and completely winded after two songs, just like ready to fall asleep.
Wow, so that's wild.
Yeah. What about you? What have you been up to?
I almost got sick last night, and then I popped some DayQuil real quick, and now I am 100 times better. I nipped that shit in the bud.
Nice.
I am not. No.
All right. So I think a good way to start off what we're talking about is like the Van Dyke verdict, right? Like, is that, do you think that's a good place to?
That's a solid place to start. Okay. My thoughts on it.
Yeah.
I'm a mixture of happy that somebody's going to jail for killing somebody that looks like me, finally. Still mildly dissatisfied.
Yeah. I think
there
so.
There were like, how many officers were on the scene and watched Van Dyke open fire on Laquan McDonald, then reload and fire again, and nobody intervened? Right? Like, if one of my homies smokes weed in the car with me, and I didn't, but I watched it happen, I go to jail. Y'all watched somebody get murdered, and all of you heard the dispatchers say, use a taser.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as far as I'm concerned, you're no less guilty of aiding and abetting than I would be for being near drugs that I didn't even partake in. And I don't understand why all of them aren't in the same amount of trouble. I would love for everybody who watched that happen and didn't do anything to go to jail. It's just, they do this thing where they're like, you know, not all cops are bad. And I'm like, cool. But like, when y'all bear witness to murder and don't do anything, when you hide the footage for a year, and then when it takes another year to get a verdict, yes, you are. Like,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
you that, are. All yeah, of you are terrible.
You know, that highlights the problems with the system. The other thing that kind of blew my mind, like I'm in 100% agreement about the fact that it seems very much like a show of like, oh, look, see, we don't let racist cops get away with it. You know, like, you know, he got 30 years for every bullet or whatever, which like I understand, like the symbolic gesture of that. And I understand like how that might help some people who like are feeling that loss to feel like, OK, I'm getting some sort of vengeance. But like, how do you like acquit the guy on police on official misconduct? Like, that's the thing that kind of blew my mind, is they said like, yes, you did murder someone, but you were still doing your job correctly,
right? And that's what scares me about what the job is. It's like, no, you did your job right. And I'm like, okay, well then all of you are inherently bad because your job is to literally fuck over black people.
Yeah.
Like, And I think that's such an interesting conversation, because so many people, like, I have friends who are like, well, not all cops. And I'm like, one, yes.
Yes, all cops. But like,
and two, even if not all of them are like actively bad, like if the laws are inherently racist,
mm-hmm.
if the punishment is inherently racist, and if you are in charge of administering that punishment, even if you do your job to the letter, they're racist letters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did everything my job told me to do. I'm not racist. Yeah, but your job told you to do racist shit. Yes, you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, you are. Like, yes.
getting into that, how do you feel like the infrastructure of Chicago and the way like the police force is structured in Chicago, like how does that enforce like the like systemic racism? Like what this is like, you know, I'm not asking you like for direct like pinpointed examples, but some people, when they hear about Chicago, they just hear like it's the most violent place in America, Chirac, like bullshit like that. What do you see as like inherent to the nature of police in Chicago that makes it such?
I think one, we're literally training police officers on stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you have officers going out into the field in specific neighborhoods that have drug problems while not telling them that white kids are four times more likely to have drugs than I am? Like, that's your data. That's police data. Mm-hmm. That's based on people you search. Why, if your data shows that the things that you are training people on are empirically false, why are you still doing that? Right? Why are you still training police officers like on faulty information that data that you collect proves isn't true? Like, there's just, I will never understand how you could work at a place and be so grossly misinformed about what your duties are because the people who are in charge of disseminating that information, like, aren't being honest with you, and how you could continue to work there on purpose after you find out. Like, I think the very structure of the police state, if we're talking about like the history of the American police state, has always been about protection of property and a myriad of other classes and racist things. Like, as far as I'm concerned, the police officer's first job for me was to bring me back to slave owners when I escaped. Yeah. So my history has never been good with you. Like, you've always, even when you were just doing your job, still screwing me over. So It is sort of inherent within most police states to sort of be inherently oppressed. Like they're just built on oppression, and we need to have that conversation, because I've had conversations with like white people that I used to go to school with where they're like, what about all the murders and the stuff that was going on in Boston when the police state was instated? And I'm like, yeah, that's white people shit. They were putting me like they were throwing me back in the field. I didn't even know about what was going on with y'all stabbing people. I wish I could have been free enough to know what the hell was going on. Y'all were treating me like stolen property and bringing me back so that I can get lynched for escaping. Like that is as far as I know. Like you're bringing a very white context of what police do to a very black issue. Mm-hmm. So there's already a disconnect there. So like the way people look at it, and then what's prevalent throughout the police state, is just a history of violence that not only have we yet to reconcile with, but that hasn't really changed much at all. And I think we need to reformat the entire police state. Like, we kind of need to tear it down and try to build it up properly. And I don't think that's happening, because all you're going to do is bring people in who think they want to change it from the inside, and then you break them and train them to do the exact opposite. So even when they're doing exactly what they're told, they're not changing anything. They're just sort of reinforcing the very issues that they wanted to fix in the first place. Like, I know the Chicago Police Department had all these ads on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram where they were like, make change, like be the change you want to see. And I'm like, the fact that I have to become one of you to ensure that you don't shoot me when I'm not doing anything wrong proves that you have no idea what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's weird. We got to throw it away. I think we need to throw it away.
I am definitely with you there. I think, you know, when you look at the history, like you were talking about, People talking about the history of police and saying like, oh, they, you know, there was this violence happening. It's like, yes, there were gangs, like gangs of white people in, you know, New England that pretty much were running things in New York and Boston, and the police were just like, the government decided to get a hand, like, to put a hand in the gang, like, yeah, like, you know, they wanted a gang of their own. And that's what the police force is. It is like, it is for maintaining a monopoly over capital. It's for maintaining property. And I think when we look at the police, like, we have to understand that it is a gang. It is a thing that protects its own, that, you know, might not always have a lot to gain by enforcing things the way they are, but it's used by the people in power to enforce those things. And like, if we want to change it, like you said, it's not just putting a new person at the top, because right. it's an entire like systemic problem. And we have to understand what we are looking for in terms of like community safety. Right now, like, groups like the Black Panthers, people essentially like arming their communities and saying like, hey, we want to take care of each other, we want to provide safety. I think like that is a start. Mm-hmm. It's the thing is those things cannot exist while a police state exists.
Yeah.
The police will do whatever they can to take them out, you know? Yeah.
You're absolutely right about that. And I think another interesting thing is that, and America does this with its military too. Like, people join thinking, I want to make things safe, I want to make things better. And we don't tell the truth about what is necessary to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't train police on, like, the best way to end robbery is to take resources and distribute them in ways that communities get them so that people don't have to steal. Mm-hmm. We tell them, shoot the robbers.
Yeah.
But if the reason people are stealing isn't addressed, then you're always going to have to shoot people. And then everyone blurs together. And then everybody is potentially your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stop being a force for changing your community. And you start being an enforcer of violence based on the ideals of people who don't even live in that community and have no interest in giving it what it needs. Like, it stops being about safety at some point.
Yeah.
And it stops being about change at some point. Like, I feel like the last thing a person who's concerned about changing their community should do is join the police force, because they're only going to train you to kill enough people to keep people afraid and let enough people go that if there are people in your precinct who are running drugs and shit like that, that there are enough people on the outside to do that work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they train people on how to create change by maintaining the status quo. And I think we do that with the military too, where we're like, patriotism, we're going to end the war. We're going to start and end the war on terror. We're going to get rid of all those weapons of mass destruction. And it's like, well, then tell U.S. people to stop selling those people weapons.
Yeah.
And like, get your pockets out of the war game. Mm-hmm. Then, because America makes so much money from war.
Yeah.
That to tell people join the army so we can end war is just a lie at this point.
Yeah.
And has always been a lie.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the way, like, if you want to see like how people actually feel about, you know, in the war, like, look at how they treated people who refused to fight in Vietnam, right?
Yeah.
They were jailed. They were like, you know, Muhammad Ali was just like painted as this like anti-patriot, like, you know, essentially traitor, because he's like, I don't want to fight in this war. And like,
right. Ain't no Viet Cong ever called me nigga.
Yeah. Right. And like that sort of just like shows like, this is obviously about money. This is obviously about exerting U.S. control over other places. And I think like, if we, you know, again, look at like the way the police enforce laws, the way the way the laws are written, like, they're always skewed against, you know, the most marginalized people. Mm-hmm. Right. And, it's hard to get away from that. I'm thinking about like the mayoral election coming up, right? Mm-hmm. And you have a bunch of candidates who are like mostly all on the like, Rahm was terrible, we're gonna make things better. Or at least the ones that I'm seeing, right? Like the people who are more in line with my political beliefs. But it's very hard to look at any one of the candidates that I've seen and say, like, this person is serious about shutting down, like, police institutions, about, like, scaling back police presences in neighborhoods where, like, it's only inciting of violence, you know?
Yeah. I look at, I think her name is Amara. I think that's her name. I'm interested, but, like, I'm on the fence between I want to believe in you because I believe and trust black women, and you still work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the job is inherently evil.
Yeah.
Like, I'm between those two things right now. But hopefully, you know, hopefully I can go and I can vote and I can trust what's going on. And I've had a real complicated relationship with voting.
Yeah.
Always. I wonder how much fighting you can do by doing what the government told you to do, by fighting them on their terms the way they said you should. Like, a lot of my friends are like, yeah, we should resist. I'm like, okay, how are we going to resist? We're going to vote. And I'm like, they said to do that. That's not resistance. That's obedience.
Yeah.
Like, they told you to go. All right, y'all. Okay.
Yeah.
Your ideas of resistance are like solely predicated on being like in civil disagreements with the system while actively participating in it. How much is going to change from that? And like, I'm to the point now where half of the time I vote, I feel like I'm voting because I don't want people to think I'm lazy or politically uninformed,
mm-hmm.
not because I believe in any candidates. And I say this all the time. I feel like Sisyphus, like I'm rolling the rock up the goddamn hill and then it rolls back down and I got to do it all over again.
Yep.
And don't shit change. And I feel that way about police violence too. Where we throw one white cop in jail and then all the other cops that were involved in the murder walk away. And there are going to be 800 more who do exactly what happened with Laquan, and they're not going to go to jail. Like, I'm still upset about, I want to say his name was Oscar Grant, the guy who got shot because of his taillight being messed up.
Yeah.
And he tried to run, like in the video, he's running away, and they shot him in the back, and then they planted a gun on him. Because whenever I hear an armed black person get shot, I'm like, what was he? Was she? Were they?
Yeah.
Like, were they? Because y'all will shoot somebody and put a gun there real quick, and we caught you that time. And that makes me doubt every other time you said a black person has had a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they shot somebody across the street from my old house when I was living on 87th right off of Sangamon. They shot somebody, like, right outside of the alley behind the corner store,
mm-hmm.
right there on 87th. And they said that the kid had like a semi-automatic weapon and that he fired it from under the car, but he wasn't under a car when he got shot. And although eyewitnesses said that he ran away and that he didn't have a weapon. So my entire understanding of armed police shooting has been white people shooting black people and then lying about what weapons they got. So like, when are we going to address that? Because that's an old problem that we did nothing about yet. Like, I don't know what to do because there's so much that needs to be done. That Van Dyke going to jail sort of seems like pacification.
Yeah.
And not actual justice. I'm highly distrustful.
And I think the fact that the city, like leading up to the verdict being announced, the city was ready for rioting, right?
Yeah.
And that, the fact that they moved these like armored buses like to arrest people and like hundreds of police officers in various neighborhoods, like it's very telling because anybody who was following along with the trial realized that yes, this guy's gonna get convicted. Like, you know, like the justice system is very, very skewed in this country, but there was just so much overwhelming evidence. And like, again, like the fact that there were all of these officers on scene, like to just like say nothing happened or whatever, or that like it was justified in any way would like, I don't know if that would have caused the riot or not, but that would have just like I feel like for a lot of people, that would have been the last straw, right? Like that would have been the thing that pushed them over the edge from like, things are messed up, but like, maybe there's some hope for justice. And if they were like, you know, acquitted on all accounts, like people would have just said like, this thing is totally messed up and I'm never going to trust in it again. Right. Yeah. So it's like you said, it was an act of pacification, but also it was definitely showing that like the system still is very skewed and does not care about Black lives.
Yeah.
Like
100%. And it's just weird because I think about the rioting and one of my friends' dads said on Facebook that white people have a pathological need for Black people to be violent.
Yeah.
Like they just really need for Black people to be violent so that they can be like, see, that's why we shot you. That's why. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I'm not evil. Like they just have this, they've got this compulsion within them to like kill us and then try to justify it because they cannot deal with the fact that like maybe white people do fucked up shit because over hundreds of years you've been tearing the planet apart and no one's held you accountable for it and you need to feel like what you're doing is okay. And I feel like getting prepared for a riot that wasn't going to happen says a lot about what white people were about.
Yeah.
Like they were just like, yeah, they're gonna act like niggers today and then it's gonna be fine. Yep. And I'm like, yo, chill. Like chill, bro. Like stop. Also, like, you can't kill me and tell me how to react. Like another friend of mine. I think it was Malcolm London. Yeah. I think Malcolm London said that in a post a couple of years ago during Ferguson, where he said, you can't kill me and tell me how to react. I think that's what it is. And that's just that stayed with me ever since I read it. Just and white folk are all about that. And men are about that in regards to sexism. Like anybody who isn't marginalized always wants to hurt people and then tell them what to do after they've been hurt. And you can't do that to people. Yeah. You can't treat people like that.
Yeah, I think it's the people in power have always been told and have always believed that their actions will be justified and that's why they're in power, right? So slaves are less human. So it's okay that like we own them because, you know, we are chosen by God or whatever, right? You know, like you said, we're
real people.
Yeah. And, you know, like it's that way with men. It's that way with white people. Basically, yeah. Like you said, people like the non-marginalized people, I don't even know if it's like a conscience necessarily, but like something in them might feel bad for taking advantage, for doing a thing that they realize is not fair.
Yeah.
And so to justify that unfairness, they have to say like, well, you know, like Black people are violent, or, you know, like the whole thing with like immigration, right? Immigrants are rapists and thieves and are ruining things. And like, I think the reason that resonates so much is like white people see that like this place in this world isn't just owed to them. It's not just theirs. And so the only way that they can justify doing all those terrible things is the fact that they are somehow better than the other people in the world.
I think it's a mixture of that and one other thing that we don't talk about often, but that I think is a thing. I think white people project what they do onto their victims a lot,
yeah,
which is a different conscious thing. Like people who cheat on their partners would be like, you always cheating on me. And it's like, no, I'm not. Oh, you're cheating. You just need me to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that is. And I feel like they do the same thing. Where white, like that's the entire reverse racism argument. Like Black people roast you because you can't dance. You shoot at us. You say those are the same because when you see me making fun of you, you see when you created blackface, when you did traveling minstrel shows, when after those traveling minstrel shows and after those jokes that you made, you created lynch mobs and then you went out and you killed the Black people based off of the stereotypes in your jokes. And you're seeing me operate in a space that has stereotypes about you, and you assume that I'm going to do the same thing to you. even though I literally do not have the political or social power to get away with it.
Yeah.
Like, not only because of, like, how white people are, but and how this country is built, but because when you live in a country that tells you white is better, you end up with a lot of marginalized people who just think white people are the shit and can't fathom being violent to them, mm-hmm. which leaves me ever frustrated in conversations where I'm trying to tell black people, like, yo, you might have to beat their ass. Like somebody's trying to kill you, you might have to swing on them, and that's okay. Like, it's okay to swing on people who are trying to kill you. No, we don't want to. No, like, no, punch that motherfucker in the throat. Like, they're trying to kill you. It's all right. And I think that happens a lot. I think white people see minorities and they think, oh yeah, all humans are terrible. And it's like, no, you are a specific type of terrible that does shit. Like immigrants aren't the same type of, like immigrants don't come to continents and set everything on fire and kill all the native people and rape everybody and enslave them. That shit you did.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. like immigrants in this country are guilty of less than 3% of the crime in this country, and some of that crime is just being here illegally.
Yeah,
like a exactly. decent chunk of that crime is being here illegally. And every now and then you'll get somebody who steals some shit, or who kills somebody, or who rapes somebody, or does some shit, and like those people are punished. So like we don't have to have the conversation about like holding them accountable because they already get booted out, and then they get thrown in jail when they go like get sent back wherever the hell they're from, if America sends them back where they're from.
Yeah,
because we got a bad habit of sending anybody Spanish speaking back to Mexico.
Yeah,
when they might be from like Guatemala or like
or somewhere South else. America,
right? Yeah. Like they like they might not be from Mexico at all. Like they might be from Central or South America, and they just speak Spanish, and they might speak a completely different dialect of Spanish.
Yeah.
Than like Mexican Spanish, and you just throw people where you just like Mexican,
yeah,
right, or like all those natural citizens that just happen to be speaking a second language with a parent on the phone, and you profile them, and then they get locked up and then sent to Mexico too, and they're from fucking Albuquerque, or like they're from New Jersey, and you just profile them because so much of immigration has been like racial profiling and not actually about immigration law. Yeah. Otherwise, like 40% of the people getting sent away wouldn't be natural citizens who just are brown, because we don't do that to European immigrants, illegal or otherwise. We don't do that shit to them. And like, speaking of Albuquerque, that's New Mexico. Imagine stealing Mexico from Mexico and then naming it New Mexico.
Right?
Yeah. White people are fucked up. Like that's petty as hell. Yeah. Like, you gonna kick me out, then, bruh, you gonna steal Mexico from Mexico, then name a piece of it New Mexico. You wild.
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of evil shit?
Yeah, that's a thing that, like, you know, like, people ask me, like, you know, well, what race are you? What ethnicity are you? And I'm like, that's a hard one to answer. Like, my family's been in Texas since before it was a part of this country, its own country, or the three other countries that it was a part of. Mm-hmm. So the borders just moved around us. And at some point in there was colonization. There was, you know, my indigenous heritage, like taken over by like Spanish colonials, and my family speaks Spanish and we have brown skin. So like, I guess we're Mexican, but like my family didn't, like, as far as we can tell, like did not cross the Rio Grande, like, at any point that, you know, the United States was a country. Yeah. So like the fact that it's ridiculous, because it's like, well, like, I guess like we're Mexican, even though like my family's not from the actual place of Mexico. They're just, you know, brown skin and speak Spanish. And like, it's the closest, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
the borders just kept shifting.
Yeah. And so like, you know, thinking about like, you know, what is legal and what is illegal is just like, it's mind-blowingly arbitrary, right?
Yeah.
And I think we are about at like the 30-minute mark. It seems like a good time to wrap up.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that is going to be the most frustrating when talking about dealing with police issues, is that it's arbitrary. It's all just written to enforce a system, like, to keep itself afloat, right?
And, like, of course we're not talking about, like, letting people murder people.
Yeah.
Or letting people, like, do other atrocious stuff to people. But, like, that only makes up a chunk of so much wrong with the police state. And I think people hear that, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think when I say we need to abolish the police state and then, like, bring something new to the table, that doesn't do that to people. They hear, oh, y'all just want all these gangbangers to kill everybody?
They just, like, purge, right? That's what they think.
It's like, no, like, that's not what I want. That's not what I want at all. What I want is a system that both, like, holds people accountable but then recuperates them and, like, does not enforce systems that make all of this crime prevalent in the first place, because all of this is cyclical, and the criminal justice system is a part of that cyclicality. I can't talk, but, like, that cyclical nature of it all. like the police state and the criminal justice system is definitely a part of that, and they're definitely pushing it as much as they are punishing what happens afterwards. And I don't want the thing that keeps my community safe to be a part of the reason my community is in danger in the first place.
Right.
And that should be paramount to anybody who lives in a community that's affected by any sort of violence. Like, you don't want the people who are protecting you from violence to be part of the cause to why your neighborhood is violent. So if they're, like, protecting rich people's land and those people are, like, sucking all the resources out of your neighborhood, then, like, something's wrong, because those people are supposed to be keeping you safe, but they're part of the reason that people are stealing.
Yeah.
Like, if people are getting murdered, where are we getting these military-grade weapons from? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Feel me? Like, stuff like that, where it's like, yeah, we need to be protected, but, like, not by the people who are making it worse.
Yeah, it's that issue of, like, there are fires going on, but bringing people with flamethrowers isn't going to help put them out, right? Like that, the police exists to escalate, and they exist to, like, enforce the racist and the unfair systems that we live in. So yeah, cool. All right. Well, that was a half hour of us talking about police violence. And I think I have some ideas on what we're going to do next time.
Feel free to follow me on Instagram at Mohawk Johnson Music, no caps, no spaces, or on Twitter at Mohawk Johnson. That's all caps, and instead of the W, it is two V's.
You can find me at MC Foucault, pretty much any social media. I also write and edit for Scoppy Mag, which is where this podcast will be hosted. You can find more about that at scoppymag.com. They do an incredible podcast that I've been on a couple times. And we just, about a couple months ago, recorded the 250th episode of that. So there's a lot of back episodes. You can learn more about Chicago and the arts and culture scene within Chicago. They also do some great political episodes and things like that. So, yes, thank you again for listening. I'm going to spell that, my name. It's MCFOUCAULT. Definitely looking forward to doing more of these in the future. I think we should have some sort of tag to go out on. What's the first thing you should do when a police officer walks up to you?
Slap them.
All right. Thank you again for listening. This is MC Foucault, Mohawk Johnson. Stay safe, be good. Peace.